This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The NBA Finals are here, and Giannis might play in tonight's Game 1. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Myron Metcalf, Alyssa Lang here, filling in for Max. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's take you through a little bit of a timeline on what we know right now about Giannis's status for Game 1 against Phoenix tonight. Going into the day, he was listed as doubtful for tonight's Game 1. Then about an hour ago, Malika Andrews tweeted that he had been upgraded from doubtful to questionable on this afternoon's injury report. Then about 10 minutes ago, Woj tweeted that Giannis has continued around-the-clock treatment on his left knee with hopes of becoming cleared to play Game 1 of the Finals versus Phoenix tonight. There is expected to be a game-time decision on his availability. So if you weren't excited enough for tonight's Game 1, Myron, are you a little more excited now that Giannis could be on the floor?
I'm excited if he's good to go. I'm less excited if he shows up with one of those thick knee braces, you know, and he's limping onto the court. So if he's ready to go, I'm all in. But if there's any hesitation, keep him off the floor.
You want full steam ahead, Giannis, as I'm sure both sides, both fan bases do, so there is no doubt about who wins this championship at the very end. What do you think is going to go down in the NBA Finals or in tonight's Game 1 with Giannis? Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Andre is in Massachusetts. He joins us now on the Max Kellerman Show. Andre, what do you think about tonight's Game 1?
Yeah, I think that Giannis needs to play in this series. In terms of Game 1, I give the Suns the decided advantage with no Giannis on the court. And for the series, I'm going to say it's a zero, as in a donut, a Krispy Kreme donut chance for the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis doesn't get out there and suit up. Point of fact is this. Phoenix coming out of the West, yes, they have faced teams without their best players, but they are head over heels, in my view, ahead above Atlanta Hawks team, you know, with a hobbled Trae Young. Milwaukee's going to really have to step their game up. They're going to need Giannis to be there in order to be competitive in the series. In conclusion, once again, I just think that Milwaukee has to be healthy. They have to have the MVP. And to your point, even if he's slowed down, Giannis, going to the post, you don't have to be the point forward with the injury. Going to the post, make DeAndre Ayton work. And that could be a way that this injury could work to their advantage. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation to have, Myron. And we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show at 2 o'clock. If Giannis is not full steam, how much do you want him to be able to go until you're like, okay, yeah, you're a detriment out here? Is him being on the floor enough, or does he have to be able to do a certain amount for you to feel good about him being out there?
Like, Alyssa, I think you hit it. Like, Giannis not healthy, Giannis hobbling, I think is to the Bucks' detriment. I think that is a negative thing because this isn't a guy who you can set up and he's hitting threes from the corner and you can kind of have him playing this passive offensive role. Giannis goes 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's just what he is. He's rebounding, he's dunking, he's driving to the lane, he's getting contact. That's his style. And then he's also playing really aggressively on defense. This is a guy who dives for loose balls and blocks shots and does everything on that end of the floor as well. So to me, what the Bucks have to ask themselves. Now, if you ask Giannis, of course Giannis is going to say he wants to play. Of course Giannis is ready to go. But if you talk to the Bucks, they have to be able to answer the question, can Giannis play like Giannis? Because Alyssa, if he can't play like Giannis, now you're putting him in a vulnerable situation. And the Supermax does not kick in until next year. Giannis's best years are supposed to be ahead of him. That, to me, is how they have to think about handling this entire injury situation with Giannis.
I was going to say, what would you say to Bucks fans who are sitting there like, okay, we know Giannis has a long career ahead of them. This won't be the last time that we could be in this situation. On the flip side, we haven't been here in a while. We're starving for this. We want a ring. We want Giannis to play. But you also, you touched on it, you want him to stay healthy and you want him to have that long career in Milwaukee. If you are Coach Bud, what are you doing? If Giannis is sitting there saying, Coach, I want to go, but you know he's not 100%. Are you putting him out there?
Well, if I'm Coach Bud, I know that I might need this championship to save my job. So
that's
I'm going to say, hey, Giannis, are you good? And my guess is Bucks fans are like, hey, man, put a bandage on it, do what you got to do. You can rest after the game. I'm sure they want to see him play as well, because as good as the Bucks were without him, to the caller's point, they were still playing the Atlanta Hawks, and Trae Young wasn't 100%. The Atlanta Hawks are not the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns won more games in the regular season than any team in the NBA, not named the Utah Jazz. This is a legit team, and they've gotten better over the course of the playoffs. You need healthy Giannis to have a chance against them, Alyssa. But if Giannis is not ready to go, Coach Bud has to say, you know what? We really want you out there. Let's reevaluate things for game two, because you can't put him in game one. And then it's not even about him getting hurt, Alyssa. What if he just puts more strain on the injury? Right. And then maybe he's not ready for game two and game three. So that to me is how they have to look at this. When is Giannis really ready to go? That's the only time I think we should see him out there.
It's a tough situation when I look at it from a fan perspective. You know, I watch a lot of NBA games purely as a fan. I really minimally cover the NBA professionally, but I enjoy sitting and watching all of the games, and I really enjoy it just from a fan's perspective. Looking at this year's championship, we talked so much last year in the bubble about, oh, how this championship has an asterisk, whether you believed it was less hard to win or more hard to win, whatever side of that you fell on. This is another one of those things where I'm sitting here, and if Giannis can't play, or if Giannis is only at 50% and maybe is only in two games, then Phoenix fans are sitting there like getting trash talked by everyone else saying, well, you didn't face a full strength Milwaukee team. Like, duh, you were going to win. You know, like it kind of like delegitimizes it a little bit for me. I hate that that would be the case, but I just know that that's what all the talking heads and what we're doing right now and what I'm actively doing right now is going to be the conversation. Oh, well, did they cakewalk to a championship? And then on the flip side, if the Bucks are able to win it, that looks even crazier for Phoenix. If it's like, well, Giannis beat you at 60%. Yeah. That's tough. I don't know. I don't know where you fall on that. But what that was one of my first thoughts when this finals were set, was thinking, okay, well, if Giannis isn't good to go, there's going to be a lot of, but what if for whoever wins this title.
Well, let me just say, I'm ready to get on a plane if the Bucks win this championship, fly to Phoenix, and remind everybody in Phoenix that the Bucks beat them with Giannis at 60%. Like,
right.
I will have a banner and just run it around that whole city, because that will be the conversation. It feels like the Phoenix Suns have to win. What excuse do you have? Now, I will say, to their credit, these things happen in the NBA Finals all the time. I mean, Kawhi didn't face a full-strength Golden State. LeBron didn't face a full strength Golden State. I mean, Golden State, when they won their first championship and they beat the Cavs weren't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So these injuries happen, and I don't think you can say it's not legitimate. I mean, the Suns beat every team that was in front of them. The Bucks did too. But I think the pressure has suddenly switched completely to the Phoenix Suns. I mean, the Bucks lose, you're like, okay, Giannis was hurt, wasn't 100%. We'll be back next year when the Supermax kicks in. If you're Chris Paul, Alyssa, and you can't beat this team with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton in the way that you've been playing, you're not going to get another chance. And I think that, to me, is the reality for Chris Paul. This feels like his last chance to win a championship, to solidify his legacy, because I don't care what anyone says, 20 years from now, without a ring, we're not going to care about Chris Paul. We don't talk about John Stockton. We don't talk about Gary Payton. We don't talk about a lot of great point guards who didn't win championships. And I think we'll put him in that category as well.
There's so many specific storylines on both sides of these finals games. And you talk about Chris Paul, his first finals appearance. He has every other number on his resume to categorize him as one of the greats. But like you just said, when we talk about it 10, 20, 30 years after your career is over, the first question that everyone asks, well, how many rings did they win? How many championships did they appear in? This is Chris Paul's first finals appearance, which when I was reading up over the last couple of days about this, I did a double take, because it was like, okay, well, I knew Chris Paul hadn't had a ring yet, but this was his first finals appearance. I genuinely felt like I had to fact check that, because it was just crazy to say out loud. So as you said, so much pressure on him, not only from the fan base and from the team wanting to win this thing, but from himself. I mean, he's been an all-star 11 times before his first finals appearance, which will be tonight. He's got the numbers, but he needs the ring. how big would it be for his career moving forward? And, you know, maybe for the next couple of years of his career, if he can say, okay, I finally climbed that mountain. I finally got that ring.
I think if he wins a championship, he's right behind Magic Johnson. That's nothing against Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Magic is the GOAT at that position. Everybody recognizes that. But I think Chris Paul, especially for basketball fans who are under the age of 50, I think Chris Paul would be that guy. But if he doesn't win one, and especially with the way that the Red Sea is sort of parted for him, like everything is right there for CP, if he doesn't get it this time, I think it would actually be a knock to his legacy in this idea of maybe he just couldn't win these clutch situations. Those conversations are never fair, Alyssa. It's never fair to look at a Patrick Ewing and say, oh, you didn't win a championship. Well, did you see Hakeem Olajuwon and David Robinson and Michael Jordan and all the guys he had to go through? At the same time, that's how you are remembered. That's what makes you a legend. And I think Chris Paul, no matter what he says, understands those are the circumstances and those are the stakes going into game one. If you don't get a championship, it's going to change how people talk about you going forward.
A lot of pressure on Giannis and whether or not he will play. But if you ask me, the most pressure on Chris Paul for finally potentially getting a ring to cement his legacy. Again, his first NBA Finals appearance. He talked with the media leading into game one.
It's still basketball. I think we all locked in to, you know, the goal at hand. And I think for us, it's balance and whatever it is. You know, you always got to remember this is a kid's game that we play. You know what I mean? So this is a blessing and an opportunity to play this game. So there's balance. You know, I think our team knows when to lock in and when we got to enjoy the moment and enjoy ourselves.
Myron, what do you think Chris Paul and his Phoenix team are doing right now, sitting there watching the Woj bombs come out, watching Twitter for all these Giannis updates? How does that change the way you think that they approach tonight's game?
I mean, I think they're telling everybody get ready for Giannis because he's going to play. And I think they're expecting Giannis to be close to 100%. That's where we're headed. But at the same time, I don't think they're intimidated. Unless I think they kind of feel like, listen, we saw LeBron. We saw the MVP of the league in Denver. We didn't see Kawhi, but we saw Paul George, who had a couple of elite performances. So I think they're not afraid of this Bucks team, and they still feel like they'll have enough to win. No team has had more momentum in these playoffs. No team has been better than the Phoenix Suns. So I think they are ready to go. But at the same time, the pressure is all there because you're not going to face a Giannis who's 100% most likely. And now it feels like, you know, not only do you have to win, but can you win in five or six games if Giannis isn't 100% in this series? So we'll see how they come out. It feels like game one, no matter what, Alyssa's going to set the tone for the series.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a unique finals situation. Phoenix looking for their first title, making their third finals appearance. Milwaukee seeking their second championship, but they hadn't won one since 1971.
74.
So not even the players remember what that looked like back in 71. And also no player on either team has won a championship. And for me, honestly, it makes that a little bit more exciting. You know, we both cover a lot of college football, and every year, December, January, a lot of casual college football fans will go, oh, it's the same teams again in the college football playoff. Like, I wish someone other than Alabama or Clemson or Notre Dame or Ohio State would be in this thing. And that's what we're getting right now with this year's NBA Finals between these two teams who have been in such a long drought looking to bring a championship home. Hey, we want to know your thoughts on game one going down tonight. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Let's go out to Michigan where we find Jerome on the Goodyear Hotline. Jerome, what do you think is going to go down in the NBA Finals here over the next couple weeks?
All right. I think Milwaukee's going to win this even without Giannis. And just because of the way I saw Middleton and Holiday play against L. This is a little overrated. If they can get some defense on Chris.
I think we're losing
him
a little bit.
His connection is questionable, I believe.
Yeah, but his take was not. He was very clear. He thinks Milwaukee's going to win this thing. I think he was saying, based on the way the rest of the team, Myron, has stepped up in Giannis's absence. Do you think that that's valid? You think that could happen?
I know that accent. That's somebody from somewhere in Wisconsin. I don't care where he said
he was
from.
One of your people.
That's somebody who wants to believe. we all know they're not winning this championship without Giannis. Listen, Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday played well, and they got rid of the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks weren't 100%, but this is just a different – it's a different thing. When you're facing the Phoenix Suns team, that probably – really, Alyssa, maybe thinks that they beat teams that are as good as you or better. Yeah, we beat the Lakers. Yeah, Anthony Davis was hurt, but we beat them. We beat the Nuggets. They had the MVP of the league. We beat a Clippers team. That was a handful as well. So I think they have the confidence, and I don't think Milwaukee finds a way to get this done unless Giannis is 85% at least and he's ready to play like Giannis. There are so many people who want these Suns to win. You know, like all of the momentum is behind Phoenix. They've already would have written scripts, I'm sure, about Chris Paul. Kevin Hart's going to play Chris Paul in a movie some point next year if he wins the championship. But I think the Milwaukee Bucks understand, yes, the pressure's on their end, but we can't think about winning this thing until we know the status of our superstar.
It would certainly be an incredible feat if Milwaukee did win this thing without their superstar, without Giannis. And I don't blame Bucks fans for thinking that it'd be out of the question with the way Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday were able to carry the load without Giannis, but that was only for a couple of games, not the entire NBA Finals. In fact, Jrue Holiday talked leading into the Finals about how hard it would be if they did lose Giannis for this series.
The way Giannis plays, there are no letdowns. He's continually going to the basket, being aggressive on both ends of the floor, and he brings so much to this team, and he does so much for us that I feel like having losing that would really be hard for us. So just continuing to be aggressive from minute zero to 48.
Which is exactly what you've been saying, Myron. Giannis plays big, he plays mean, he plays aggressive, and missing him would be tough if they want to win this championship. Let's get into a little bit of baseball. Some news from the Dodgers. Dodgers manager does not expect Trevor Bauer to return by the end of the week. He is on that 7-day administrative leave by the MLB, and that ends on Friday. But Dave Roberts does not expect him to return then. He said, quote, "I don't see it happening." Major League Baseball can request an extension of 7 additional days with consent from the MLBPA. Doing so would keep him off the field through the All-Star break, buying more time for an ongoing investigation. Of course, a lot of news surrounding Trevor Bauer and the allegations of sexual assault. He was placed on leave by Major League Baseball on Friday. Myron, what do you make about the swiftness of Major League Baseball putting him on that leave?
I mean, I think baseball overall deserves some credit here for how they handle these situations. The idea is, yes, we don't know if you're guilty or you're innocent, but we're going to sideline you until we know, and we're going to investigate. And I think you've seen a lot of high-profile players get hit with some lengthy suspensions. So I think Major League Baseball actually deserves credit. They get criticized for a lot of things, and they usually deserve it, but they also deserve credit for, I think, how they handle these situations. You don't have to play baseball when you're facing these allegations, these severe allegations. That's the stance baseball is taking, and I think that's a smart move. And I think it's the right move as well. Alyssa, what do you make of it, though?
Yeah, it's obviously a story that is going to have a lot of layers, and we don't know a lot of the information and what's gone into it yet. But knowing that he is not going to be pitching, in a lot of situations, we're sitting there saying, well, he'll probably be back on the field or whatever it is in a couple of weeks. And it's sad that we have that mentality, but that's been the reality of what we see in a lot of different leagues in professional sports. It's not only a question of whether he'll be back this season, but whether he'll be back with the Dodgers at all. There's been a lot of conversation about that as well. But as we said, developing story that we will keep you updated on here on ESPN Radio. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Aaron Rodgers. Will he lace it up for the Packers this year? Our front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, is going to join us right here on the show coming up next. By the way, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them, and they're so legit. Employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. You can tell them Max sent you.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
One of the biggest questions going into this upcoming NFL season is how many more episodes of Jeopardy will Aaron Rodgers host? Not really. I'm kidding. It's whether or not he'll play for the Packers, obviously. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Myron Medcalf and Alyssa Lang here filling in for Max. Give us a shout, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and we're going to go out there right now where we find Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider, who I know is going to be glued to the golf match coming up this afternoon between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Because, Mike, you already know we're going to learn a lot, because Tom's probably going to poke the bear a little bit on the open mic situation with how Aaron Rodgers is feeling and where he's going to end up, right?
Should be a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, if I was Brian Gutekunst, the Packer GM, or Mark Murphy, their president, I'd be out there as the caddy on Aaron Rodgers' bag, because I would get 4 or 5 hours to keep trying to recruit him.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation for sure between those two. But let's get into this situation. It's not been good, certainly over the last 6 months since the offseason. But where do you think we are right now as far as Aaron Rodgers and maybe a percent chance that he actually plays for the Packers this year?
Well, you know, I said this more than once. I just don't see why they would trade him, just from a standpoint that if they ever make that decision that they have to trade Aaron Rodgers, I think that happens next March or April, because any compensation is going to be part of the 2022 draft. So if I'm Green Bay, I'm going to take as much time as possible to try to recruit him to stay. So at some point, hopefully for them, the worm will turn and he'll realize that if he wants to play football this year, he's going to have to play as a Green Bay Packer. If he decides to go the route of Carson Palmer, which, you know, 2 decades ago, sits out a year and then goes on, obviously, and you know, gets traded from Cincinnati to the Cardinals, that's a possibility. But I just don't know if I'm Green Bay, like, why I would make that trade this season.
Mike, it's not anything new to hear a star quarterback is having some challenges with his team, his front office. But I don't know how many have lingered into July. I mean, what has to happen for the Packers to find a way to sort of rebuild this relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's, you know, it's about trust. And I think if I'm Green Bay, I'm just going to talk about really more about the future, guys. I'm going to talk about your legacy. And, you know, you start off at a junior college, and maybe there's a, you know, somewhere in Green Bay and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packer, JUCO, you know, scholarship or foundation, and this is your legacy for the next 10, 20, 30 years, and we certainly could have handled things better, but let's try to figure out a way we can move forward collectively.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider. Mike, let's talk about the Browns. Baker Mayfield and the Browns obviously ended last season with a bang. What do you think the status is of what they're thinking with Baker's contract, maybe extending him now or waiting a little longer?
I would wait. I think Baker Mayfield's probably the 6th best quarterback in the AFC. He's not tall. He's not fast. And he's a good player, but not great. And if I'm Cleveland, I got him for 2 more years, and I would not be in a rush to sign him to an extension.
Around this time of year, the Dallas Cowboys fans in my life say a lot of crazy things about championships. And, you know, it always sounds bizarre to me. But what do you think about the Dallas Cowboys going into this upcoming season?
I'm very bullish on them, because I think their offense, if healthy, will be a top 5 offense. You know, Dak Prescott obviously needs to stay healthy, but they're getting back Zach Martin, Lyle Collins, Tyron Smith. I believe a lot in Dak Prescott. I think he's a top 5 quarterback if he's healthy. And they have 2 number 1 receivers in C.D. Lamb and Amari Cooper. And I think this defense under Dan Quinn will be markedly better. So if their defense is at least middle of the road and Dak stays healthy, I think they clearly are the best team in the NFC East.
Let's stick with the quarterback trend. Over the last day, Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence just signed a big-time deal down in Duval. Mike, what are your expectations for Trevor Lawrence in his rookie season down in Jacksonville?
I think it's going to be more good than bad, but it's not going to be perfect. It doesn't happen overnight. I think he has great long-term upside, but him and his head coach, Urban Meyer, are going to be learning a lot this year, and that's okay. It's developmental positions, and both the head coach and the quarterback will be much better after year one, and I think they have a bright, bright future together.
We talked a lot about Baker Mayfield and the decision there, whether to sign him now or after this season. What about Lamar Jackson? I mean, what will Baltimore do with him and his contract situation?
Yeah, if it was up to me, I would sign him immediately. You know, he's a league MVP and someone that's high character and someone that's just going to continue to get better. And look, his game's not perfect. You know, nobody's game is. His downfield accuracy has to improve, but given his work ethic, I think it's someone that will continue to get better and better. And if I was Baltimore, I would try to get him signed. There's always a risk of injury, especially given how much the ball is in his hand, but he's a dynamic playmaker that's single-handedly won a lot of games for them.
Mike Tannenbaum, one of the best to do it here at ESPN. Thanks for joining us and breaking down all the storylines across the NFL for us, Mike.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Mike joining us there on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. All right, we got one more segment coming up here on the Max Kellerman Show. We'll give you our official finals predictions, plus how will NIL change college sports? We're going to get into that coming up next. Plus, if you missed any of the Max Kellerman Show today, you can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's that time to start making some predictions. Game one of the NBA Finals going down tonight, Bucks versus Suns. We're about to tell you who we got. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus alongside Myron Medcalf. I'm Alyssa Lang filling in for Max. Myron, you want to go first? Who do you think's going to win this thing?
Okay, I don't get to like say with or without Giannis. I just have to guess either way.
I don't know. I don't think you get two separate predictions. No.
Okay, if I don't get two, I'm going to assume Giannis is playing and he's ready to go. And if that's the case, Milwaukee Bucks in six. That's my
prediction.
Ooh,
okay. See, I thought we were going to go in two different directions. We did not discuss this coming into the segment, but we're actually sort of on a similar page. I'm going to go Bucks in seven.
Okay.
I just like the fact, I like the idea of it going to seven games. There's nothing like a game seven. But as I look at ESPN.com and some of the predictions from our very smart NBA analysts here at ESPN, I see Monica McNutt has the Suns in seven, which makes me feel really bad about what I just said, because I feel like Monica makes pretty solid predictions all the time. So we'll see. But if it is Bucks in seven, I'm going to let her know that she was wrong.
Monica's right a lot.
And, she's right a lot.
She's obviously great at what she does, but I'm going to have to go against my friend Monica here and pick Milwaukee. Now, if Giannis isn't ready to go, that's a different prediction that I won't say now, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Either Bucks or in six or seven. We are going to find out. Game one going down tonight, 9 o'clock on ABC between Milwaukee and Phoenix. Will Giannis play? It's going to be a game time decision. But what better way to count down the minutes up until game one than a Giannis game time decision for Milwaukee? We teased it coming out of the last segment. Big news out of the college sports world last week with the new NCAA movement on name, image, likeness. You've seen your favorite college athletes from across the country, different sports, different programs, announce deals with local brands, national brands, car brands, sweet tea brands, Petco, barbecue restaurants, all sorts of things, you name it. College athletes have signed on and capitalized already on their publicity, something that they would not have been eligible to do if they wanted to have an athletics career under the NCAA. We were talking about this a bit in the break over the last 20 or 30 minutes or so, and how we think this may or may not change the scope of college sports. So, Myron, when all of this came down, something that we knew was going to come, what were your initial thoughts now that we've had a couple of days to marinate on it? How do you think it will change, specifically college football, since that's what we've got coming up next?
Well, it's about time, right? I mean, this is something that should have happened years ago. I'm glad these athletes have the opportunity to earn money off their name, images and likenesses, because that's a good thing for everybody. In terms of how it changes things, like, I don't think it changes Alabama or Clemson or Notre Dame. Like, I don't think the top tier of college football teams will change. What it does change to me is the hometown hero who has an opportunity to go to Alabama or Georgia and compete to be the fifth receiver, right, on the roster. A guy who maybe isn't definitely going to play, but if he has a good training camp, he has a chance. I think that, to me, is the player who says, you know what, maybe rather than going to Alabama, I'm going to stay closer to home. You know, if he's from South Carolina or Tennessee or someplace like that, you know what, I got a bunch of local offers. I can make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. I'm sort of a legend in this part of the country. I'm going to play for the top team in my state. So I think that, to me, is what it changes. I think the depth charts of these teams will be impacted. Alabama might not get 3 5-star quarterbacks anymore, but they're still going to get a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I still think they're going to have an overwhelming advantage over everybody else.
I do wonder how it will affect players and their decisions to stay in college for a certain amount of time. Like, instead of going straight to the NFL, when as soon as you become eligible to make money for whatever reason, if you feel like you're ready to start cashing checks, if your family needs some help, if you're needing to send some paychecks home, now players may have the opportunity to not only do that, but also stay in college as well. Because sometimes you hear these stories of players saying, you know, I need to be able to help my family, or I need to be able to support my lifestyle, and I need to go to the NFL now to try to make some of that money, whether they're ready or not. So I do wonder if you're going to have some of these star athletes stick around for all 4 years and be able to get that degree while also making money and support whatever their needs are in their life before they need to take that next step. I also feel like, from a recruiting standpoint, it's going to change as far as what resources do we have available for you? Yeah. What help are we going to be able to give you? Can we get help with doing our taxes? I mean, when I was 19, I had no earthly idea, Myron, how to do my taxes. Are you kidding me? Like, I can't imagine being a full-time student athlete, also juggling deals and sponsorships now and knowing how that impacts me financially. So a school that would be able to say, hey, we will have someone for you that can walk you through those things, can do the legal side of it, I'm sold immediately.
Yeah, I mean, all of that's going to play into it. And that's why I think the first year of this, maybe in the first couple years, will be wild and a bit chaotic, because you got different state laws. The NCAA regulations are a bit vague. So until we get federal legislation or something from the NCAA that's more concrete, I think there are going to be a lot of just different questions. But I do think overall, guys are going to figure it out. Athletes are going to figure it out, male and female, how to take advantage of this. In terms of, I love what you said about maybe people staying in college longer. I think you're going to see maybe the star quarterback or running back who maybe just won a national championship or just led his team to the college football playoff, all of a sudden there are a bunch of endorsement deals on the table that wouldn't have been there before. Does he go straight to the NFL, or does he say, you know what, coming back for another year, that's a lot of money in my pocket? So I think there will be some interesting decisions that people have to make going forward.
I also love, throughout the last week or so, watching some of the matches with players and sponsors, players and businesses. For example, Ryan McGee, one of our great .com writers here at ESPN, tweeted out that an Arkansas barbecue joint is now sponsoring the Razorbacks offensive line. And like four offensive linemen tweeted out that they've got a sponsorship with the best barbecue joint in Arkansas, Wright's Barbecue. And how, like, is there a better marriage between an offensive lineman and a barbecue restaurant?
That has to be the thing, right? Like, all food stuff for all offensive linemen. I think that, to me, is where they're going to really clean up.
Oh, it's so good. And before we go, now I need to know. So we've spent the last 2 hours together. If you were a college student, Myron, in college, who would have sponsored you if you could take your pick?
Oh, man, who would have sponsored me other than like a couple of the local bars in town?
Or any local spa,
Probably KFC. I mean, I was a big KFC guy, probably. I would have took anything, though, at that point in college. I would have took a $10 sponsorship in college at that point. What about you? Who would have sponsored Alyssa?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there was one restaurant that I consumed a lot of when I was in college, and that was Waffle House in Columbia, yeah. South Carolina. There was a Waffle House right by my apartment, and I frequented the All-Star Special. So yes. I think that's what I'd have to say.
I'll take one now.
Right now. We're going to get off the air and go to Waffle House. Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. For Myron Metcalf, I'm Alyssa Lang. Enjoy Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight at 9.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.